your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have a good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that you might see your that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Well, so far we've noticed here in the book of 1 Thessalonians of the model church. Paul praised the church there in Thessalonica for their faithfulness and for all that they were doing, and that they served as an example to the other churches scattered about in the land of Greece. And we find this in second chapter, we saw the model servant, Paul himself, who defended himself and his way of doing things because he was following after the will of God and seeking to do what he was called to do. And this chapter, this morning, we want to see the model brother, or especially he's talking about the man who was so faithful in working along with him, this man called Timothy, and what he represented and how he was there to help the church. Paul was unable to go himself, and so he sent Timothy to deliver the message and to encourage the people, to build them up in the faith, and Timothy was more than glad to do that. He was faithful in going along with Paul on his missionary journeys and all the other things that he was involved in, and pastoring or leading the churches in Ephesus especially. He was established there as the leading elder, leading pastor of that group of churches. So Paul here was not satisfied to see the people at Thessalonica saved, and now he wants to instruct them and teach them that they might be strong and able to carry on the work of the Lord. So he's seeking to establish them in the Word of God and in their faith, that they might be able to go forward. You know, the establishing of the believer is the main idea of this chapter. As we see here in verse 3 especially, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So afflictions are going to come. We might as well face it and seek to ask the Lord to help us to make it through every one. Verse 8 says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. This was the heartbeat of Paul, was that the believers would stand fast and strong and not give up and not go back to their old ways, not forsaking the way that he had led them. New believers needed to go through these trials with joy and be able to come out anchored in the Lord without being swayed away from their strong stand for Him. So let's notice the means that Paul used here to establish these believers. He sent them, first of all, as I said, a man, Timothy. This man who had proved himself faithful, and Paul here is establishing him as the one that would go. Paul is here in Athens alone. You remember he had to leave because of persecution. I couldn't stay at Thessalonica, and everywhere he went, it seemed like they were chasing him out. So he ends up in Athens, and we have that account over in the book of Acts, speaking about what he did there. But here he sends Timothy back to Thessalonica to help the people there. And notice what he says about him in verse 2. Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. He's come to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. This is his main preoccupation. Paul sends him to establish them and to comfort them in their times of affliction and persecution and all that they were going through. Timothy says the name means the one that honors God. That's a great name to have, isn't it? Timothy, the one who honors God. Let's look back for a moment. In Acts chapter 16, we find Timothy for the first time, I believe. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Speaking of Paul, it says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So here we find Timothy is already a disciple. Now when he was converted, we're not sure. It does speak of his mother and his grandmother who taught him. Let's look at that. That's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, which comes right after Thessalonians. I always get those mixed up. Right after Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, and 1 verse 5. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. So he had a godly heritage on the mother's side and the grandmother's side. They both believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and had a strong faith in him. Unfortunately, his father, it says, was a Greek. That's all it says about him. And apparently not a believer. So he was from a mixed marriage, I guess. And yet his mother and grandmother taught him the things of God. Look over in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the thing. Learn them, and that from a child Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So he says that from a child, and I understand that word means from like an infant, he knew the Holy Scriptures. So his mother and his grandmother apparently taught him the Scriptures from the time that he was born. As soon as he could understand, they began teaching him the Scriptures. So he had a good opportunity to know more about the Lord. And he became Paul's assistant when Paul went there to Lystra and chose him to go along with him as an apprentice or an assistant in learning the ways of the missionaries. And later he became a faithful companion and co-worker for Paul. So let's notice also there's a reference here in Philippians 2 and verse 19. Philippians 2:19. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you at Philippi, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." So Paul considered Timothy his spiritual son, and he had been so faithful in working with him and carrying out this mission. Now Paul is confident that he will help the church there at Philippi, and now, as we read, in Thessalonica as well. He sent Timothy to help the church to establish and to comfort them. So we find here Paul's closeness and devotion to Timothy, and willingness to use him in this way to help other believers. So because of these qualities, Paul was willing to use him and help him even at the church there in Thessalonica, as we said. Now Paul is writing this letter. We notice in verse 3 of our text, Paul wrote them a letter. It says, "For that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." So Paul here is writing to these believers who are suffering. They're going through trials and tribulations. You remember it was some of the Jewish people from the synagogue, the zealous ones that had chased Paul away, and now they were persecuting these new believers, trying to dissuade them from following after Christ. You know, the believer is built up by the Word of God, and here Paul is writing them this letter that's inspired by the Holy Spirit to encourage them and to build them up in their faith. He had already told them verbally, and now he's writing it to them that they might be able to think upon it, meditate on it, and read it over and over again, and understand more and more of what God has for them. So Timothy takes the letter to them, and no doubt explains to them what Paul means by all of the things that he said. and taught them the truths of God's Word. We are so blessed to have the Holy Scriptures, aren't we? You know, we have the whole Bible today. Back in the olden days, they only had a portion. I'm not sure exactly how much they had at the time Paul wrote. He wrote some short time after Jesus was here on the earth, only a few years. And basically, they had the Old Testament. And then the writings of Paul and the Gospels came along. But these people were dependent upon his teaching and upon his obedience to God in writing down what the Holy Spirit told him to say. So we have the wonderful privilege today of studying the Scriptures and understanding them and being able to compare one with the other. And we're greatly blessed with that. It's extremely important to know the Word of God, and to know what God is saying to us today. We live in a day and age when there's so many different things that are being taught or being put forth. And we have to look back into the Word of God and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, this doesn't correspond. And so we need to make sure that we understand what God's Word really does say. And then we find Paul prayed for them. This is so important. We need to pray one for another, and certainly pray for those that we have ministered to and are working with, seeking to lead to Christ or to help them to grow. And Paul was very faithful in praying. He mentions it over and over and over again throughout all of his writings, the matter of prayer, and praying for other people and their needs. Verse 5 says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear. He said, when I couldn't stand it any longer, right? He was concerned. I won't say worried. Maybe he was worried too, I don't know. But he was concerned about the church at Thessalonica. He had only had a short time there, and he was wondering how they were doing. And he said, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to know your faith. Right? So he sent Timothy. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. He says, I just wanted to make sure that you really understood, that you really did accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you are really following him. So this is the reason he's sending Timothy there to do that. But now Timothy has returned to Paul. And he says, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and love, charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. You know, Paul was overjoyed with the report that Timothy brought back, that the people had truly followed the Lord Jesus, and that they loved Paul and Timothy, and that they desired to see them again, and that everything was proceeding as it should. This brought great joy to his heart to know that, and to receive the good tidings about their faith and their love. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Think of the Apostle Paul. You know, he suffered a great deal, didn't he? He talks about it in one of his passages about being stoned, about being shipwrecked, about being betrayed by the ones that he trusted. So often all these different things that happened to him, being put into prison, and all of that. And he said, this really did my heart good, you know, to hear that you are remaining steadfast and strong in the faith. And it's encouraging, you know, we can encourage one another by being faithful. And he said, this is what I am so happy about. We were comforted. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. He said, this is something that's near and dear to my heart, that you stand fast. Don't allow anything to make you veer off to the left or to the right. Stay steadfast. Follow the Lord. Walk in his way. Stand fast. And he said, this is what makes my heart glad. And then he talks about thanksgiving. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. You know, Paul, in his prayer for these people, it was a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude to God for his working in their lives and how he had brought them out of darkness into light. And a prayer of thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving coming very soon, you know. We have that one day when we're so thankful for the turkey and the cranberry sauce and all the rest, right? We enjoy all those things. But there's a lot more to it than just that, isn't there? We should be thankful to God every day of our lives for his presence and his power working in our lives to help us to make it through this old sinful world and to be victorious in our lives. Notice what he says in verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Night and day. Paul had it upon his heart to pray for these people, praying exceedingly. There's other places in the scriptures where we read him, his prayer list. It makes you wonder, how could he possibly ever get anything else done? It seems like he prayed all the time, right? In fact, that's what he said, wasn't it? Pray without ceasing. It's that important. And yet, how often we neglect that. I know of myself. I have to admit, I don't pray like that all the time. And we need to, night and day, pray. And help perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So we have a responsibility to one another, don't we? If someone is deficient in a certain area, we need to pray definitely that God would perfect that in that life and that they might be able to carry on. So here we find Paul praying for them, praying for their protection, praying for their safety, but also praying for their endurance, that they would continue on and not allow the enemy to win the battle. They might stand strong in the Lord. And the last point is he reminded them of the return of Christ. Every chapter we find in 1 Thessalonians ends with the coming of Christ. He talks about that in each one. It says in verse 11, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. He says, I'm hoping that I'll be able to come. May God help me to be able to revisit you and to help you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all people. Notice men's in italics. All people, everyone, that you might have a great love for those around you. Reach out to them, even as we do toward you. May you have that same kind of love for others. to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So here we have the Lord Jesus coming back again with his saints. So here he's thinking about his coming back to earth to establish his kingdom. We know, of course, before that time, we will be taken to be with him. And he's going to establish us unblameable in holiness before God. Well, that'll be wonderful, won't it? You know? The scripture calls believers saints, right? We're saints. Do you feel like a saint? Well, I know I certainly don't many times. And yet, that's what the scripture says. We are saints because we have been separated unto Christ. We are belong to him. And someday he's going to come back and take us to be with himself, and we will be established in holiness before God. We'll be like him, it says. We'll see him as he is, and we will be like him. That'll be a wonderful day, won't it? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and we are joined together with him and come back to earth and rule and reign with him. And he is going to be the victor, the king, the Lord, the one who is ruling over all. So it's a wonderful thing to think about. And so Paul here is establishing these people in the faith, using Timothy as a teacher, using the Word of God, letter that he's writing to them, using prayer, and using the wonderful hope, the blessed hope of the coming of Christ again for us. So we can be established in those truths and know that he is always faithful, and he will help us through until the end. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning and pray that each one of us will continue to serve you and that you'll give us the desires of our hearts as we follow after you. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace, and we pray that you would fill our hearts with your joy even in the midst of adverse things. May we be joyful and follow in the way that you'd have us to go. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all that we do and say today and throughout each day to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.